Hey everyone, welcome to the Nintendo Prime Podcast, episode 95. Whew. Can't wait to say episode 100. I know we're still 5 weeks away, but man. I am your host, as always, Nathaniel Ruffeljance, joined by
Eric Moore.
And a special guest, one of our $20 patrons, which you guys can become as well. We do have some open slots at our $20 Patreon tier. For $20 a month on patreon.com/NintendoPrime, you can be on an episode of the podcast once per month, along with a bunch of other stuff. How's it going, Mr. 243?
Good. I'm more here than a Nintendo Direct.
You're that burn, yeah. Especially given one of the topics today. All right. So, you can find this podcast all over the internet on iTunes, or better say this right now, NintendoPrime.net.
There you go.
You can also find it on the Google Play. If you go download the official Google Podcast app from Google Play Store, you can find it on Podbean, and obviously right here on YouTube, if that happens to be where you're watching. All right. Oh, and also early on Patreon, $5 a month for the audio version, $10 a month to watch us record it live, $20 to be on a podcast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Let's just get right into the topic and not waste any time here. Our very first topic is, what Nintendo games do we want to see ported to and or remastered slash remade for Nintendo Switch? Obviously, that hasn't already happened. Let's start with 243 over there. You got any games you want to toss out? And why?
Everything. Anything that companies want to port. But mainly, I've been playing a lot of Persona 4. I took it with me by Vita on vacation. So whenever Persona 5 hopefully comes, and maybe some of the Japanese games from some of the smaller companies like Zero Escape, Danganronpa would be really fun. And also Yakuza. I haven't played that. That'd be nice to play on the go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are some excellent choices. They're not Nintendo games, but those are excellent choices.
Sorry, I forgot you put Nintendo games.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's cool, man. You a whole bunch of Japanese games you really want to come to Switch. I basically concur.
Yeah.
Like, there's other ones, too. Like, I want Nier Automata on Switch and Neo.
Oh, yeah.
Those would be awesome, I think, on the platform if they decide to ever bring them over. Persona 5, I think, is the big one, given the Joker's in Smash. But, again, you know, there's rumors that it's coming, but, you know, rumors don't mean anything unless there's a confirmation. So, we'll get back to you if you happen to have a Nintendo game you come up with later. Eric, is there any Nintendo game from your gaming history that you would like to see on the platform?
Nintendo specific?
Yes, not Rare.
I know.
That's why I just eliminated half your childhood.
I know. I know. I hate you. God.
Or remastered, or remade.
Right, I know.
That's the key thing. That can bring back a lot of games if you remaster or remake them.
I know, but I don't know if it's technically made by Nintendo, but I would like to see a remake, remaster, whatever you want to call it, of Dodgeball.
Okay, I think Nintendo published it, so yeah. I don't know if they own the rights or not.
Right, but Dodgeball was freaking amazing back in the day. The arcade game.
Which one, though?
There's
multiple versions. You just said arcade, is NES, or the SNES one.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's the Game Boy Advance game, too.
Yes, yep.
That one was fun. Really, I guess any of them. I just love the game. Trying to think of just Nintendo games, per se. I mean, take your pick of Zelda.
Ooh.
I mean, honestly, I've had so much fun with Breath of the Wild, so I guess take your pick, and I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, especially if they're going to bring it into 3D.
Yeah,
like there's so many games in the Zelda series,
mm-hmm.
Or even if they're gonna do like an HD 2D, they can't use that terminology because Square Enix went and copyrighted it. But whatever, it can still use the same style. You just can't call it HD 2D.
Oh, good lord.
Well, like, as an example, Link Between Worlds was already like upgraded visuals of A Link to the Past. So like mm-hmm. an A Link to the Past remake with those visuals in HD could make some sense. Although again, people might just say, oh, it's just lazy because it's A Link Between Worlds. I'm like, A Link Between Worlds was in the world of A Link to the Past. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. People get that way. They're just going to get grumpy.
Any one of the Donkey Kong countries, the originals?
But those are rare.
I know.
Well, no, Nintendo owns all the rights to them, though.
The original ones?
Yes, they own all the rights. Doesn't matter that Rare made those. So they could bring those back. That would be nice too, because they already have all the a lot of the assets in the art style to use for it, thanks to Country Returns and now Tropical Freeze.
Tropical Freeze, yeah.
So those would be prime for some remakes. Those would be nice.
Right.
Oh, man. Now you got me drooling, foaming at the mouth over here for that.
I know.
Secret of Mana. Oh, wait. They already did that and it sucked. That wasn't Nintendo anyways.
Let's redo it. Yeah.
Can we get a good?
Yeah.
Good? Right. Like, when you release visuals worse than the original, there's a person. Anyways.
Yeah.
Which, please don't screw up Crystal Chronicles Square. Please. Ooh. I have a feeling they're going to, because they're remaking it. I hope. All right. So Nintendo specific. I mean, there's so many games I would like to see come back. I mean, let's just go to some that people really want. I think this is the most obvious choice, the Metroid Prime trilogy. With Metroid Prime 4 ahead, I know a lot of people want to see the trilogy, which did release in a collection on Wii. They want to see that come back and be HD'd. And I think of all the ones to do, that would almost be the easiest. Maybe. I don't know. I say easy, but they do have to have a studio really up-res some of those games. Probably Metroid Prime 3 would be the easiest one to do that to, because the other ones were in the 4:3 aspect ratio, whereas Metroid Prime 3 was in 16:9. But it can be done. It's been proven with emulators. It can be done. So it's just a question if Nintendo wants to do that. And I'm a big Metroid guy. I love Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime 1 is my favorite Metroid game of all time. That and Super Metroid, I kind of bounce between those two. Beyond that, I mean, there's so many. If we're not going to get a new F-Zero game, then how about the F-Zero game on GameCube? Bring that back.
Yeah.
I think that would be phenomenal.
But bring back the Death Wheel. Death Wheel is so much fun.
The Death Wheel was fun. So that's another one. Look, if you're not going to at least remaster, remake it for a new generation. And you see me, right now, I'm kind of picking from systems that I don't think they're going to put on the Nintendo Switch Online service.
Mm-hmm.
I know I hate using the online service as any sort of barrier for better versions of games. But reality is, if they could just put it on the service, I think they'll do that instead. So I could go all the way back and say, why don't you bring back Star Tropics?
Oh, you were looking at my phone, weren't you?
No.
Uh-huh.
No, I was thinking Star Tropics was the topic the whole time I wrote it down.
Because I just looked it up. I'm like, Star Tropics would be fantastic to bring back.
If we talk about a Link to the Past 4, I could think of a zillion SNES games. It's just, I'm looking at their history, and I'm like, okay, the easiest things to do would obviously be Wii U ports.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Maker, something obviously. That needs to come over. Super Mario 3D World. Pikmin 3, especially if they're not going to bring Pikmin 4, fine. Pikmin 3 at least.
Mm-hmm.
That needs a second life. And Wii U games, second life on Switch, have done well anyways.
Mm-hmm.
A Wonderful 101, which Nintendo has publishing rights for. I would like to see that brought over. I know Platinum Games wants to bring it over, so it's really the ball's in Nintendo's court on that. But I can go over a whole bunch of Wii U games that we still don't have. But I think those are a given, though. I think those are coming anyways. Unless they're making a sequel, if a Mario Maker 2 sequel is coming, then okay, we're going to get that, not Mario Maker.
Right.
But otherwise, I think we're going to get all of those games eventually. So I kind of dig back to the Wii and the GameCube era for a lot of the things that I'm desiring. And
we're already getting one that I wanted.
What's that?
With the FFCC, but that's not a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
I know.
No, it's okay, though. Yeah. I mean, and it's coming to all platforms, so more people get to play it.
Right.
Final
Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, for those that don't understand.
Yeah, FFCC. The original, not the Wii one that was more traditional Final Fantasy. Man, there's so many. I mean, I'm going to say this just because it went to 3DS and it shouldn't have. The Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
The Luigi's Mansion 3 is coming. Just remaster 1 and 2. I'm sorry. Luigi's Mansion and then Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. Just remaster both of those and bring them.
Just make a trilogy pack.
They charge $100 for it. Because Luigi's Mansion 3 is a brand new game.
So
I know, you'd buy it.
I mean, you're paying
your point.
You're paying $40 for the other ones.
You might as well just say, give me a special edition that has the other two for $100.
You're basically you're giving me $60 for the three, and then $20 for each.
But
why
do that when they could just give you the Luigi's Mansion one, $60?
Yeah, well, I know $60. That's the problem.
I mean, reality is everyone wants them to pack together the Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD and release that for $60, and they're just going to do each one individually for $60. They're going to, again, for the second time, because that's just what they're going to do, because people are going to buy it. I mean, that's one thing that was weird. I did so far, like, most of the news from this past week has been a lot of sales data, the NPD data. So I got a couple of videos up on it, but outside of that, it's been kind of dry this week. And one thing that was interesting in looking at the sales data is, you know, they have all the top 10 sellers for each of the platforms, Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch. And all of them have, like, third-party games and all this stuff. There's, like, one exclusive game on the Xbox One. There's two on PlayStation 5 in the top 10, and nothing but Nintendo games in the top 10 on Switch. And I know, like, some of these games, like Red Dead and Call of Duty, didn't come out on there, but NBA 2K19 did, and that's on both of the other platforms' top 10s, not even close to Nintendo's top 10. Mm-hmm. So my thing is that the Switch is in this interesting realm where Nintendo could basically put out any of their old games, and it's just going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to sell, and it's just going to sell. And I think that's why some people are frustrated with the online service too, because all those classic games, they'd rather just buy them individually and own them. But what are you going to do? That's not what Nintendo's giving you. So I look back at all those games, and I mean, is there anything I don't want? You know, how about Pikmin 2 and Pikmin 1 as well? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Pikmin 3. Why don't we bring over the whole trilogy?
Pikmin trilogy.
No, not Hey Pikmin. That can stay on 3DS.
Trilogy.
Can stay on 3DS.
Hey, Pikmin needs a remaster, where it's just made as like a Metroidvania. You gotta unlock the Pikmin and go from area to area.
No thanks. Pikmin is just it is a Pikmin fans federation force.
I think you can make a good 2D Pikmin if you made it Metroidvania, though.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying that Hey Pikmin itself is to Pikmin fans what Federation Force is. like Federation Force. By the way, Federation Force is actually a really, really, like, Metroid Prime Federation Force is a really good game, but it upset a lot of people because they'd rather have Metroid Prime 4. Now they're getting that, but they didn't know that at the time. We thought we were going to still get Pikmin 4, even though we got Hey Pikmin, and yet here we are in 2019, and Pikmin 4 was supposedly done back in like 2015, and
yeah.
Chances are Pikmin 4 was really just Hey Pikmin at this point, and because there's only like one quote on the entire internet. Like, if you go back in all the sources for Pikmin 4, it's from one quote that mentions Pikmin 4. And the quote could simply be mistranslated, and it just meant a new Pikmin's coming. And they assume that meant Pikmin 4, and really it was Hey Pikmin. So Pikmin 4 might not even exist. I hate to burst that bubble for some people. So again, Hey Pikmin, and the longer and longer we go without a Pikmin 4, the more and more Hey Pikmin's going to feel exactly like a Federation Force. It's like people were dismissive because, oh, Pikmin 4 is coming. About that. just because Nintendo never corrected that interview doesn't mean anything. Because it's not like people are constantly asking Miyamoto, hey, where's Pikmin 4? Like, no, they're always like, where's Mario? Where's Zelda? Where's Kirby? Where's the? And then no one asks about Pikmin in interviews. I never see anyone ask him. So who knows? Maybe if we catch him on the way to the bathroom at E3 this year.
Yeah, right?
Be like, hey, Miyamoto.
Yeah, right.
I know you don't have your translator. Pikmin 4. Yes. Make sure we have a little Pikmin stuff there. New just one? New one?
Just give him a calendar and tell him to write a date on it.
just circle.
When is it coming out? We won't tell anybody.
No, hold up a Mario doll, Link, a Pikmin, and we should just grab like little pins of each of them.
Yeah.
Point. We'd be like, okay, point to a pin, circle a date.
Yeah.
We won't tell anyone. We promise.
He's gonna just pick random dates and circle them.
Watch him just grab it, and he goes to the page that has all the months, and he just circles the whole thing.
He circles the whole month.
He just circles the year on top.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yep. Or he goes at it, and he goes, glances at your pens. Glances at your pens. Looks down. He's like, 2050. Just like, no!
Dang it.
Sometime by 2050, according to Miyamoto, we're getting one of these games.
Yes. One of them. One of them. We don't know which one. One of them.
Well, probably Mario. I think it was by default.
Yeah, right.
I mean, is there not going to be a new Zelda? Wait, if there's only one, does that mean Zelda's being canceled?
Yeah, right.
I mean, 2 or 3, do you have any older games you want to come back?
Well, I mean, it turns out Nintendo's made a lot of really good games.
No, really?
Years.
Right. No, not at all.
Shockingly. Basically, whatever Nintendo would put out, I'd be happy to buy. Assuming it comes out.
I gotta throw this out there.
These SNES games.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I always wanted an HD sequel, and I always thought it would do sick. Dr. Mario.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I don't know what you would do any different, but
I can't even remember if they ever made a sequel to it. I don't really think so.
Yeah, there's the Wii and the 3DS ones are actually pretty decent.
Okay. But are they sequels, or are they just remasters, remakes type of thing?
I mean, you can't really remake Dr. Mario.
Yeah, it's and like, yeah, I don't know really how
Tetris.
Right.
Have you not seen all the things they do with Tetris now?
Grandmaster Tetris is pretty sick.
Yeah. Tetris Effect. Yeah. Tetris Effect in VR is sick.
Yeah.
What's that? There's a Tetris game my fiance plays on her phone that's different too.
Puyo Puyo Tetris?
No, not Puyo Puyo Tetris. No, the good game, by the way.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember what it's called now. Oh, it's upsetting me. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yep.
It's actually a really, really fun game. And if I play it in front of her tonight, she's going to scream at me because she's going to be mad she forgot about it.
So, just throwing this thought out there for you.
Yeah.
What about like a Kirby collection? Where they bring back most of the Kirby games from the past.
Oh, yeah.
Is there one on Wii?
There might be.
I believe it's on Wii.
Well, okay, just remake that
then. 25th collection.
But it's not on Switch.
Yeah.
Tetris Blitz.
Ah.
Such a fun game.
Yeah, and there's Tetris Attack, but that's not really Tetris.
No. But Tetris Blitz is really, really good. It's interesting. EA owns the rights to Tetris.
Interesting.
I just downloaded the game because I'm totally going to play it in front of her later. A reminder of what she hasn't
played.
Can we
bring back a Paperboy?
Paperboy. There we go.
Zombies Ate My Neighbor.
There's reaching into the barrel now. Right. I'm like, I know you have some. Come on. Get in that barrel.
It's
of
whether
yours.
It's Nintendo games or not.
Whatever.
Yeah.
What? Who knows? I mean, all the people are going to be like, "Oh, that's not. Does he have any Nintendo?"
Yeah.
Sure, Mario Bros. Duck Hunt.
Can we remaster the original Star Fox?
Oh, that would. Be
I mean,
sick.
I'm not much of a Star Fox fan, but I know people will want it.
Yeah. Speaking of Star Fox, I guess you can bring over Star Fox Zero minus the motion controls.
Yeah.
I know some people actually like the motion controls, but I don't know. I could never get into it. It felt weird because it was like traditional Star Fox with the motion. Like,
Fine. How about we just go with Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2?
Oh, there's
How
some.
About that?
There we
how
go.
About that?
There we go. There's someone reaching in and being like, oh, hey, how about these?
Yeah.
How about some sunshine love? Any sunshine love
God,
up in here?
Oh, God, yes. Sunshine. Sunshine.
It'll be like, I know that it's kind of cool, like out. The black sheep of the 3D Mario.
Oh,
but
love
it's good.
Sunshine.
It's like one of the most underrated. Like, it was just, it's just because it's not Mario 64. So, it's like, yeah. And guess what? Majora's Mask isn't Ocarina of Time, but the people who like Majora's Mask love Majora's Mask. Mm-hmm. It's like one of their favorite ones.
Right.
It's not Ocarina of Time, but like, who cares? Cool. I mean, and you guys out in the audience, you know, go down in the comments and let us know, like, what IPs do you want to bring back or games you want to bring back from the Wii game. You can go way back. Go NES. Heck, go back to the arcade days. Yeah. Is there, like, something you want to see remastered or remade? Now, I'm not just talking about, like, grabbing a game and just dropping it. That's like a virtual console release. I'm talking about actually, like, wanting the game remastered or remade in some way. Or, obviously, if it's, like, Wii U, straight up port it over.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know because... we could be here all day listing off like
7,000
games. So I think we got a good start. So now it's up to the audience to kind of run with that one. Eric, what's our next topic?
What ways can Nintendo improve the user interface experience of Switch in 2019?
So the inspiration for this topic is Damn You Nintendo and Your Friends List on Switch. It took me 2 weeks to delete and clear out my friends list because you do not have a way on Switch to delete multiple users off your friends list at the same time.
Oh.
So you allow us to have 300, but then I have to go through three different clicks plus 2 second waits in between the clicks to delete one member of my friends list. And then having to do that for 300.
Or.
Now, granted, I don't think that everybody in the world is looking to clear out their friends list.
Right, but still.
But still, there are people that, like, you know, just added randos out there and have, like, 150 friends, and now they want to add legit friends, and they're like, oh, I don't really want all these randoms I don't know, and they have no easy way to delete them, so they just never do. And it's not just that. Like, that's just the thing that made me want to make this topic, but, I mean, is there anything you guys can think of off the top of your head so I don't dominate this topic on the way Switch can improve its user interface?
Yeah.
Messaging friends whenever that finally comes.
Yeah. Whenever. So you're assuming it will come.
Yeah.
Sorry, if ever.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, even that Picto chat at one point.
Right. You can draw wangs for days.
Oh, jeez.
No, sorry.
Yeah, where's Miiverse coming back?
No, it's never coming back. They're never bringing Miiverse back.
I miss my Smash Brother community.
Yeah, they're not. I think what they found out when they did that, when they made their own social network, which was really, really cool. I mean, it wasn't perfect, and there was ways it could improve and ways it could change the moderating, but it was really cool. I think they realized they don't have the chops to run a social media network. It's really expensive and really hard to do. Yeah. And I think they found that out on Wii U and 3DS. They're like, yeah, this is a lot harder than we thought it was going to be. So, yeah, that's why all the moderating was super, super strict on things that made no sense at times. And it's just like, they really didn't know what they dipped their toe in. They didn't understand how hard it is to be a Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's another thing. Like, they let us connect our Facebook and Twitter. How about being able to actually use Facebook and Twitter?
Right.
We can connect them. So, sorry, we can share a screenshot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can I check screenshots my other friends have posted on social media? No. Okay. Yeah. So who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say who cares. Remember when we used to use that functionality back on 3DS? We used to use it on what was it on Triforce Heroes? We were doing the walkthrough for Zelda Informer.
Yep.
We used to take individual screenshots and would tweet them out or put them on Facebook or something. And I download it and put them in the walkthrough.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a capture card back.
Yeah.
Gosh, it would have been so nice to have a capture card back then.
Yeah.
Would have saved us so much time.
Right.
Good thing I had an extra copy of the game, too, to give you.
Yeah, right, right.
But user interface-wise. What?
Triforce Heroes is a game that should come to Switch.
I love Triforce Heroes.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Like 35 hours in that game.
I love that game.
It.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever come to Switch just because they don't think it's worth the time.
Until you have that one player that always is constantly trying to throw you off
Four Swords Adventures!
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Forgot about Four Swords Adventures, too. Oh, man.
Right.
But okay, on this topic, Eric, is there anything you want to see added to the UI? Any change that would make things easier?
I don't mind the UI. It's decently easy enough to get around.
It's easy, I think, for you, because you're not someone that has a bunch of games.
Right.
I got a feature right now that everything has but Switch. Folders.
Yeah.
For you, you don't have enough games for it to really matter. I mean, you might not even have enough to fill up your whole home screen. But,
yeah, probably not.
But like me, I've got like 50 on my Switch.
Yeah.
And it's fine right now. Like, the default organization is fine. It's all by recently played, right? Mm-hmm. So that's fine. But like, there's no option to reorganize it.
Right.
So you can't like, let me reorganize by purchase date. Let me reorganize by alphabetically.
Right.
Or by genre. Like, there's no ability to organize it that way. And there's no ability to create folders. And they've had folders on prior systems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really strange in a more modern operating system, because this operating system is one that's been used before,
right,
that they don't have folders.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the overall, like, ease of use is actually fairly easy.
Well, they got the basics right.
Right. And so
it's clean.
I mean, yeah.
Some people even say, it's almost too un-Nintendo-like because it's too modern. So it's easy.
So then you bring in themes. I mean, then it makes it more woo, and people are happy.
So it makes it so they can microtransaction you to death like they did on 3DS.
But apparently people want it. So
I mean, you did get some for free, but
yeah,
they were, let's be honest. What themes are microtransactions? People are asking for microtransactions for the home screen.
Right.
Because you got to remember, themes on like PlayStation and Xbox, you could just put whatever you want on. You don't have to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
On prior Nintendo platforms, they charged you for the themes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like, when people are always asking, I understand you want the ability to customize it, but like, you're literally telling Nintendo, hey, I want to give you money through microtransactions.
Right.
I don't like that. I know it's not in the game, and maybe that's a controversial opinion. One, because I don't really care about themes, because I plan to spend as little time on the home screen as possible. I'm there just to get to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's just like people who want, I mean, this at least doesn't cost any money. There's people that want music, like eShop music,
eShop music,
or home screen music. I just don't care.
I was thinking that.
Like, they did that on Wii U and Wii, and I just do not care.
What would be kind of interesting is, I don't think it does this, but when you're like hovering over a game or whatever it is, it would play like that theme song.
Oh no, they won't do that.
On 3DS, like, you first go over it.
And you get, like, on 3DS they did that.
Did they?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't exactly the theme song all the time. It didn't even work for all the games. I think all the Nintendo ones it worked for sure. It didn't really play a full song. It did, like, the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, like, If you, one of our Zelda games was like da 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 or something like that. Yeah. It was a neat little feature, and I think the reason people want that stuff is to them that makes it like fine. Have this modern looking smartphone like UI, but give it the Nintendo flair, and I think that's what people miss is the Nintendo flair of the 3DS, the Wii, and the Wii U.
It's too plain Jane for some people.
And that's exactly what I like about it. It's so, that's what makes it so snappy. It's so clean. Like, do you want a snappy, clean UI, or do you want something muddled up with a bunch of Nintendo flair that just makes the whole thing worse? Like, the 3DS UI would have been faster minus all that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It has limited memory, limited RAM. Without that stuff, the UI is faster. So I'd rather have a faster UI than a bunch of fluff.
It's kind of
cool. I don't think that's an issue on Switch per se.
But. It's kind of cool though when you were downloading stuff on the 3DS when it.
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
The little things that came and just dropped the jewels in.
Well, when you do a system transfer, I don't know if you ever saw a system transfer on Wii U. Oh my gosh, it was like this big, epic, long animation that's like 5 minutes long.
Oh, really?
Pikmin like carrying data and going over different bridges. That's kind of cool. It was like the most elaborate thing ever. And, like, one, Wii U didn't sell very well, so very few people who saw it. And the people who bought Wii U, very few of them ever did a system transfer. So, like, it was one of the, like, they put all this time into this epically long animation that hardly anyone ever saw. It only blew up, I think, because of a YouTube video someone put out about it. Like, hey, did you even know this existed? Like, nobody knew.
Yeah, right.
Because nobody was system transferring because everyone only owned one Wii U.
Right.
But I actually did system transfer because I went from... I had the 32 gigabyte one at launch, and then the only reason I knew about the system transfer is I bought the Zelda themed one for the Wind Waker because Zelda,
duh.
I would have already have another Switch if there was a special edition Switch, and I was getting hyped for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
but whatever. So I did the system transfer, and I'm like, holy crud, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's useless,
right?
It's pointless, but I mean, you got to sit down and wait for the system transfer anyways. Right. It must entertain you along the way.
Yeah.
And things like that, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make that entertaining. But, like, I don't know. I didn't really care about the rest of the flair. I know some people are into it. I'm into the super clean UIs. And it's funny because someone's going to be like, oh, you must love the PlayStation UI. I hate it.
No.
I hate PlayStation's UI. I know it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I just don't. It reminds me too much of a DVD player, and I don't like the DVD player UI.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, no. To be fair, I don't really like Xboxes either. No. Back when they used to do the Blade on 360, it was okay. But now on Xbox One, like I figured it out, but it doesn't mean I really like it. It reminds me a lot of Windows 10 because it literally is Windows 10, and I just don't like it. The thing is, I don't mind Windows 10 on the whole now that I'm used to it, but there's still things that I'm like, you're kind of making things too flashy and too fancier than it needs to be. And Switch, that was what was so refreshing when it came out. It's like, it's just simple.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's easy to be simple when you're holding it in handheld and you can just tap the screen. Obviously, that makes it really simple. But just in general, it's like, look, you put the cartridge in and you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to think about it on that platform. It's not like on here, you put the disc in and then you got to scroll down to the game and then click on the game. And then it's got to ask you, are you sure you want to run that game? Like, no, I only tapped on it because I felt like scratching my nutsack before I make the choice.
I also, just put the disc in. Granted, you install the damn game now, so it's... You don't even really need the disc.
But whatever. I mean, that's just my complaint about the way that modern UIs are working on those platforms. I honestly love the simple. It was so refreshing to me. I'm like, finally, someone who understands that there's a reason smartphone UIs are so popular on dang phones. They're simple.
Yeah.
There's no fluff. There's no BS. You just go. The UI, the entire point of the UI is to navigate to the thing you actually want to do.
I will give it this, though. Because the Switch is the size, roughly, of a small tablet, large phone, it makes more sense to have the mobile UI.
But we had the same sort of UI. It was basically just a grid.
Right.
And it had folders.
Right. No, I know. But
3DS is kind of the same way, just with flair.
But with the Xbox and the PlayStation, they're generally on larger screens. And
the Wii wasn't?
I'm just saying. It makes sense that the Wii or the Switch has the more mobile looking UI.
I hear you, but here's my counter to that. What doesn't make sense to me is because you're on a big TV, why do you got to have a zillion things going on the screen at once distracting you?
Because
why can't it just be navigation?
Reasons.
I understand like taking a corner of it and having it for ads. Fine. You have a lot of screen real estate. Advertise what games are coming. Fine, whatever. I mean, on Wii U, they used to wake up your gamepad in the middle of the night to tell you, hey, do you know this new game's coming? It's like, No, but I was watching Netflix. By the way, Netflix. Yeah, right. I was watching Netflix next to my bed. Thanks for waking me up in the middle of the night with that notification that you could have waited till a better time to send it. Yeah, right. Oh, thanks for killing the battery on my gamepad and waking up my Wii U when I had it asleep.
Yeah.
Anyways, I thought it was a cool way to advertise. It's also like, I don't wake my system up for me.
Yeah, right.
Like, just next time I boot it up, just tell me.
Right. For sure.
You know, but
any system updates, your interface updates that you can think of?
They have that icon all the way at the end of the screen where, like, you can view all the games.
Yeah.
So you can just put that on, like, the bottom row instead of all the way back there.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Like, just get the full list of downloaded games.
And we don't have to scroll all the way over every time you boot up. Yeah. That would be, like an ability to set your home screen organization the way you want would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like forget, like all the different options to organize your games. How about you let us manually place games where we want them?
So just give us a grid and then...
Well, it basically is a grid.
Right, but allow us
to place it. Change it to the Wii.
Make it even more like a phone where we can literally grab the thing and put it where we want.
Right.
Just like on Wii and all this stuff. Like, we were just talking about, it's kind of like a smartphone UI, so have it actually function like a smartphone UI.
Mm-hmm.
And give us that ability to freely organize it. I'm not saying they shouldn't leave it by default. Leave it by default by recently playing. I think a lot of people actually like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just having an option would just be nice. And I think that's really the big thing, I think, with the UI in general. Even going to, like, the eShop, where we can get into some deep changes there, the Netflix-like style stuff we've talked about before. Like, a lot of it's just user convenience. I don't think there's anything massively wrong with the way the UI is now.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of things can be done to just add some convenience and customization for the users. Even the themes. Like, as much as I'm against the microtransaction thing, bottom line is it's about customizing the look and feel of your system. And people are going to want to pay money or do whatever to do that. And I shouldn't be, like, telling people not to do it. It's your money. Do what you want with it.
Right.
And that's really what this all is. It's all about customization and making the feel of the platform when you boot it up be kind of the feel you want it to be, both from just glancing at it and having that the theme perspective or even the music to how your games are organized and how everything's organized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you never use the eShop, so you'd like to go hide the eShop icon in some folder. Like, you should be able to do that. You should be able to grab whatever you want and have it down in that quick select menu on the bottom.
Yeah.
Just like you can on a phone. We have a quick select menu that's on every screen. Put whatever you want on it.
Yeah.
You know? If people want to bury the settings, let them bury the settings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to make sure that no matter how long it's been, they can quick select Breath of the Wild, let them quick select Breath of the Wild. Or whatever, YouTube, as an example. Now that there's multimedia apps, I think a lot of people might like those down there. So when they played a bunch of games, but they just want to watch YouTube, they don't have to, like, go dig it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, I think a lot of it's just, if you're going to do the phone UI, just go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. There's no reason not to.
Nike it. Just do it.
Oh, jeez. Now we just got copyright claim.
Yeah, right.
I swear, if we get copyright claim for saying just do it, I'm going to be like,
really? Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, when I shoot the ball, I just do it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, and that's going to be more copyright, NBA. Yeah, right. All right, I guess we can get to our next topic, because this is one... I actually thought this was interesting, because I read an article recently on Nintendo Enthusiast. Where a guy argued for in the Nintendo 3DS why it should still exist in 2019. Because I think it's interesting to talk about, because Eric and I are on record that 3DS should die and go away. And we've been saying that for a couple of years now. Yeah, I know. You looked at some of the reasons, didn't you?
Huh? No.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, the topic is there still a place for 3DS in 2019? What were you thinking over there, Eric?
I was thinking yes. So the first one kind of got me a little bit. Because it's cheap, it's a decent enough system. Cheap and durable. It's a decent enough system for kids.
I hear you. My kids have it.
And that way you don't have to buy them a Switch. You know, if you don't want to put the extra money out for something that could break fairly easy.
I think that's really the only argument.
Right. Though. For me, that I can see. I don't know if 243, you got anything for...
So... I love my 3DS and the DS design. That two-screen system has brought, you know, really creative games, really interesting ideas, and it's pretty sad to go away. I kind of think of the 3DS as, like, that really old hammer you have, where it's like, I can still use this a lot, and it's good for everything, but it is nice to get the shiny new one.
And you can literally use it as a hammer?
Yeah.
I don't know, those hinges. Yeah, be careful.
Yeah. Sorry, keep going.
But yeah, there's a lot of games like Etrian Odyssey, you know, all the RPG styles with that dual screen. Even just using the maps, you know, Etrian Odyssey was a whole game about that bottom screen being the map function. Mm-hmm. It's going to be sad to see those types of games go away.
Yeah, I hear you on that front. I have a lot of good memories with 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
But, excuse me, the big thing is that they're memories.
Right.
I don't really care anymore. To be honest, it's like, yeah, about using the map, so why can't you just hit a button on your controller and go to the map? Like, a lot of the functionality of the 3DS, is a lot of it could just hit a button and switch screens.
Or mini-maps.
Like they've done on every game in existence. I know there's some games that in particular, like, oh, well, it's really cool when, like, I'm battling a boss and then it appears on the top screen. I'm like, you know what's also really cool? When it's all on one screen. When you don't have to have a split screen with two different resolution screens giving you, like, it's neat. What they did with the platform to me is really neat. And I, like, the one thing, the ease of item management, it's the same thing kind of Wii U had over Switch, where you have, like, all the items that, you know, you don't have to go into a submenu. They're just right there.
It's basically an inventory platform.
And even on, like, Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks, like, when you literally control the entire game on the bottom screen, it's like, well, I mean, it's a touchscreen on Switch. You could still do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the top screen was used for a map. Again, you could just hit a button and go look at the map. And so it does take away some of the convenience, I think, of some games.
Yes.
And again, there are someone's going to point out some unique games that, like, absolutely wouldn't be possible without the dual screens, at least in the way the game's currently made.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Toad, even coming over to Switch, like, it felt like that would be one of the impossible games to bring over. And admittedly, while it works on Switch, it's better on Wii U. It's better with the gamepad. And I never thought I would say that about any game ported to Switch. But the way they ported it, the way they did it, it's better on Wii U. And that would be the case, I think, with a lot of 3DS games, if they brought them over. It was better and more convenient with two screens. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, like, you know, because I only wrote on the arguments, because that was kind of like the big arguments you had in the article, is that it's cheap. You know, you can get even just a 2DS, a base 2DS. The non clamshell one, you can grab one of those for like $60 easily when they're on sale, and usually they come packed in with a game, and it's usually a good game. Like my son's on his second one because he broke, I don't know how he broke one of the buttons. I don't know what that kid is doing with anything. You can get them packed with like Ocarina of Time 3D. You can get them packed with Super Mario Brothers. You can get them packed with 3D Land or New Super Mario Brothers. You can get them packed with Mario Kart. You can get a patch with like a zillion different games.
Doesn't Aiden have didn't he have a Zelda one?
He did, and that's the one he broke the button on.
Right.
And of course, he broke the button on, got mad about it, and threw it, and now I couldn't turn it on, so I could at least... My big thing was we got him the new one. I'm like, I want a system transfer so you can keep the Zelda game, because it's digital.
Ah, gotcha.
Couldn't do it. So it's like, whatever. I mean, he doesn't realize he misses it until I buy it for him again, and then he's like, oh yeah. I'm like...
Yeah.
Anyways, because he got a new game with it, and we got Mario, and he loves Mario. So, I think that's really the big argument. Is obviously it's cheap, it's durable. There's a big library of games.
There is.
A massive library of games. A lot of high-quality games across multiple genres. A lot of good third-party support. Their handhelds have always had pretty solid third-party support, especially out of Japan. Japan really supports handhelds a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the games are cheaper. So you're not spending $60 a pop, even on Nintendo games where they don't lower the price. It only goes up to 40.
Yeah.
Occasional $50 one.
Yeah.
But for Nintendo games, it's pretty much all 40, and they have a select line that's $20. The bottom line is it's cheap and it's a more durable platform for kids. And I think those reasons alone is probably why 3DS is still around. But like my thing is, all of this can be true, but you don't still need to make new games for it.
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, yeah.
Right. I mean, that's kind of like my thing. Like, why did we say the last 2 years they should stop, 3DS should die? Because they keep making new games for it that they don't need to do. All of these things about it being a nice system for kids, great library of games, cheap, durable, can still be true without releasing these new games that a lot of these kids aren't picking up anyways. The people that are picking up these games are people that are like you and me. Like the Bowser's Inside Story RPG thing, my son ain't going to be into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am.
Right. And that could work on the Switch.
I mean, well,
that's a little hard to work on Switch.
That one would be that was a little difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna say it can't be done. Of course, anything can be done if they do it, like rework a lot of things with it. But that's a good example of one that works really well on a system like 3DS. But it's just like, I mean, I think a better example is obviously Luigi's Mansion. Brought it up before, like,
yeah. Why is it going to 3DS?
Why add 3DS to look worse when it could look better, just like literally HD in the GCN version and bring it to Switch? Especially now that we know the Luigi's Mansion 3 coming, it makes even more baffling.
Yeah.
Why we didn't get it on Switch?
Because then they would have to bring Dark Moon out.
Well, they don't have to. The thing is they don't have to bring Dark Moon up if they're gonna insist on the final name being Luigi's Mansion 3.
Because
mm-hmm. Then it's like, oh, we have Luigi's Mansion. Where's the second one? Because they didn't call. It's just, I don't know. Anyways, that I think it's a debate for another time. I just, I think 3DS's place in the marketplace is obviously kids. I think that's something Reggie has brought up himself. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a cheap entry point for kids.
Yes.
You know, durable for kids, whether it's the clamshell version or not. Oddly enough, the one that isn't the clamshell version actually is the most durable of them all.
I don't know, man. I got the story. And
let me see. Let me hear you.
Yeah, yeah. I know I've told the story before on the podcast, but I don't know how
we
many
have a
of
good
these
topic.
Listeners.
We have a good topic. Let's
I don't
go.
Know how these listeners have
don't worry
gone
about,
back yet.
Don't worry about the past.
Yeah, I know.
Live in the present.
I know.
Go.
I'm just saying.
Sorry, people, Edward Norton. That's
telling
what he's
people to go back and watch podcasts from the past.
So they can hear the exact story you're already giving them now.
Well, okay, so here's the story. Back at work, I used to work with one of my best friends, and we were just hanging out at work, got done with it. Playing our 3DSs, get in the car. You know, we're going along. All of a sudden, we hear this. We're getting down, going onto the highway. All of a sudden, we hear this thud. Like, what was that? All of a sudden, my friend goes, "Oh my god, I think that was my 3DS. I left it on. I think I left it on the top of the car." Like, oh crap! So we went down to the next exit, turned around, came back, drove down the one exit. And yes, it was his 3DS. The thing had landed on the ground. Well, I mean, granted, this is we're merging onto a 70 mile an hour road. So we're going 55, 60 by the time this thing flew off. Picked it up. The only thing that was wrong with it was there was a few scratches by the hinges.
Yeah, probably where it hit.
Where it like skid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a small chunk out of the corner, but like not like all the way gouged, like broken, just like, yeah, just gouged, not like completely shattered off. That was the only thing that was wrong with it. All the buttons worked, and then he lost the game that was in it, but all the buttons worked, the screen still worked, nothing was cracked in the screens. It was crazy, the fact that thing hit pavement going 55 to 60 miles an hour and didn't completely blow up.
I think some of that. So the second time I've heard the story. So like I'm thinking about like the logistics of all of that, and how I've seen like I. Fun fact: this phone right here, I left it on top of my car, got on a highway, and it flew off, and there was no scratch. I was lucky because I don't have a screen protector on, so it landed this way. So I got very lucky it didn't land on the screen, or I probably would have had a different story. But I kept thinking about it because even looked at the back here, like there's like no damage, right? I think the most damage I have is like down here, where my thing's coming out. There's like a little scuff mark here.
Yeah.
You can kind of see like it impacted. And I kept thinking, I'm like, how is there like so little damage? Well, I think I realized, like I kept thinking about it. I'm like, okay, so let's think about it. What's blowing it off? Wind, right? So you're going a certain speed. The wind blows it off. It doesn't just like nail the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's got momentum flying backwards and it's flat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually kind of coming down like this, like a plane landing. Mm-hmm. So it actually shouldn't impact that hard. I know it feels like it should.
Right.
It feels like you're dropping a brick on the dang thing.
Right.
But honestly, that's like the best way to drop it than like walking like this and then dropping it on the ground.
Yeah.
So I like when you talk about like all that minimal damage, I'm like, well, that's probably why, because all it did was skid. It just came down and
yeah.
It just skid on the ground.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you got lucky, you know, it didn't open up.
No,
the wind blew it open and then landed screen
side
down.
Well, that's how it did. It landed screen side down because it was on the inside of the hinges was the part that was scratched.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
it kind of like went like this.
Yeah, no, it I don't know if it like bent open, but the hinge in the middle of the screens was what was scuffed.
Oh, I bet you it bent all the way, and sometimes the hinge bubbles out a little bit, and that's why that was scuffed. And there was the hinge, and it was just going like this.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the part that makes it even more exciting, because it was the inside that was was the part that was...
That would mean the hinge was facing backwards to the wind, so the wind blew the screen open, and that's probably how it flew off.
Yeah.
That makes it... I mean, it still didn't hit the ground the same as like dropping it straight down, but still that's like... It was flipping in the air.
Yeah, it did. Something happened. I mean, falling off a car going, 55, 60 miles an hour, it's probably not a good thing for you.
Well, and I say that because, I've had, cans of soda or whatever that flew off. And, your soda's everywhere because it spilled. But then you look at the can, and, there's hardly any damage. It's if you just think of physics logically.
No, right. Of
shouldn't just slam.
No, I know. But.
Because I can think about, people dive out of moving cars and they survive and they just roll. Because the way momentum works.
Right. No, I know.
You don't just literally go boom. It looks like it because the car's flying by you, but there's actually a little momentum that carries you.
Right.
Anyways,
right.
Kind of interesting. Nintendo's always made their systems durable.
Yeah.
I know some people are going to argue, Switch isn't durable. And I think the biggest thing people get mad about Switch are the Joy-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't had any issues besides the lock mechanism breaking.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people, there's people that are going to be down in the comments right now going to be like, finally, he's mentioning that there's other issues with the Joy-Cons that I've just never experienced. There's been the drift. Some people have been able to fix it. Some people can't. And there's just been various issues. I know there's a person who was telling me they're on the third or fourth set of Joy-Cons since launch. And I'm like, how?
Yeah.
I'm still on the pair I bought at launch.
Yeah, so am I.
And I have no issues. And I play my Switch a ton. He plays his decently, but I have thousands of hours in my and no issues.
Yeah.
So it's always, and by the way, our Joy-Cons have the left Joy-Con antenna issue because all of the launch Joy-Cons had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he hasn't played a lot in TV mode with his Joy-Cons, but I have, and I have not had any connectivity issues with my left Joy-Con. Now, that doesn't mean the problem doesn't actually exist. It's just I must be in a more ideal environment where the signal isn't being interrupted, or the way I hold the Joy-Con. Maybe my hands themselves aren't blocking the signal enough. I don't know.
Maybe
I'm conductive. Maybe
I was going to say, the signal's going through you.
I'm extra conductive. I'm making it stronger. But, 3DS is a really durable system, especially compared to Switch, especially for the price. $200 still, I think, or maybe it's under $200 now for an XL. Or a new Nintendo 3DS XL. But, I do think it's a great platform for kids. So, when I hear these arguments, I'm I'm just not in my head. I agree. My son has a 2DS. I do not let him take my Switch on the bus. He can take his 2DS on the bus just fine. He likes the games. There are so many games I can entertain that kid for the next decade without ever buying him another system. And so I agree with everything. But then I get back to my only problem with it still being this big supported thing is it's getting games that should be on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
If they would just either stop making the new games and bring them to Switch, or if you're going to bring them to 3DS, do a Sushi Striker, also bring them to Switch. Then I think I wouldn't really care. Then whatever, keep the 3DS alive for another 5 years for all I care.
Yeah.
For the kids. Sure. It makes sense as a kid platform. It makes sense for parents as this really cheap thing they can go pick up. Granted, if Nintendo really wants it to make sense, they got to start getting it in the toy section by the Leap Pad, out of the electronics section. Because I know kids like the electronics section, but honestly, if you're targeting little kids, put it in the toy section. Needs to be in the toy section. You need to walk into Walmart, walk down that little 3-year-old aisle with the little Leap Pads and all that stuff, and the 2DS needs to be right there. Because parents aren't taking those little kids down the electronics aisle.
Right.
At least unless they're buying something. So, anyway, that's when it's truly for kids.
Right.
To be honest. Right. When you put it in with the other toys that are the same price.
Right.
Leap Pads are $80.
Yeah.
So, that's just me. That's when now they're really maximizing it. Because, think about it. You go down that aisle and you see a Leap Pad with all with all these little games you can buy. Which, by the way, the games for Leap Pads are $40 a pop. So, you're going down that, and you see that, and then right next to that, you see a 2DS with Mario and Mario Kart and Pikmin, Hey Pikmin, or whatever. I'm sorry. A parent sees that, and they're going to be like, I'm going to get them this. They're the same price. Why would I not get them a thing that has the better games?
Yeah.
Oh, they're not educational. Fine. Put some educational games back there, then. There's plenty of educational games on 3DS. It's a missed opportunity for Nintendo that they keep that thing in electronics, so they don't tell stores this time.
Can you let Riley out? Yeah, in a bit.
And also, when you leave in the morning, can you just put the water bottles out? Mm-hmm. They're already by the front door. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mom. I don't know if that was your mom.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
No, you're good.
I'm leaving that one in.
Oh, thanks.
Mom's on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, that being said, let's move on to the last topic, especially since it sounds like someone's got to take care of something a little bit. What's our last topic, Eric? This one shouldn't even take that long.
It appears that there is going to be no direct in January. Is that a good thing? Bad thing? Will we ever get one?
Not ever.
Ever?
When?
No, ever.
When?
Will we ever get one?
Why? What?
Yes.
2-4-3. What do you think? What's your thoughts?
Well, we have the investors meeting next week.
Yes.
So
a week from
this
recording.
I think there's a high chance. You can see it next, you know, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or maybe Monday. I don't know what they're planning, but nothing looks better to your investors than you say, oh, we put out this direct of all our upcoming projects and our stock jumped up, you know, $1 a share, $10 a share, and all these products are tracking for good revenue.
So what we're saying is 243 over there is a believer. He is a January direct believer with only 1 week to go.
Yeah.
He's trying to make me a believer too, man. He's like, look, dude, even if Nintendo's not going to hit their 20 million mark, like, dude, look what they could point to investors and be like, hey, we announced all these release dates, all these games. Look at our stock.
Yeah.
What are you worried about that we didn't hit 20 mil? Right. Well, look at our December, the greatest December we've ever had in the history of the company besides we.
Yeah.
What are you worried about over there?
Right.
Like, I see it. Like, he's trying to right. convince
no, no.
me. He's like,
no, no.
He's like, dude, Nintendo's going to try to build the hype and make it so no matter what negative news they have, because the only negative news would be they're not going to hit their hardware target.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, but it doesn't matter because look how well it's selling now. Look how well it did in December. And look what we have coming. Like, why would you bail now? Don't sell now. We're about to blow this stock up this year. I hear you.
That's a dang convincing case.
I hear you. I give up. I'm done. There's no direct this January. You want to know what my logic behind that is? We have nothing coming in February.
Yeah?
The indie games, sure, but we have nothing from Nintendo. So that tells me we're still going to have nothing from Nintendo in February. But they're going to give us a Nintendo Direct in February.
Yes.
We had directs during the Wii U era when there was nothing coming.
Well, I mean, that's just the entire Wii U era. I mean, come on. I mean, you could literally just pick a random month during that 4.5 years, and there probably was nothing coming.
Yeah, there is that.
But that's the thing. Like, there's nothing in February. We know about some stuff in March. We have Yoshi coming. We know about some third-party imports in April. So it would be nice to be like, hey, look, there's nothing in February, but guess what? Like, a week or 2 weeks into February, we're hitting you with that direct, so we're just going to distract you from the fact that there's nothing out this month. Mm-hmm. At least now. I'm going to let you know, yeah, maybe not this month, but March, April, May, like we're hitting you hard all the way to June. We're hitting you hard with a bunch of stuff. So to me, February is starting to look more likely to me. Two, I do think the investors meeting, they're going to have enough good news. Smash is breaking records. Switch is breaking records.
Right.
I don't really, like, even if they're under their target, which they might not be, I don't know if they need that hype because I think it might be nice to, could you do, the, like, There's two trains of thoughts. You do it before the direct to kind of if you know you're not gonna hit your hardware target, you do it before the direct. So it's like, hey, we didn't hit it, but look at how the fans are reacting. Like, don't worry about it.
Right.
Or there's like the, oh, you're slightly worried about it. Oh, our stock dipped 2%. Yeah, a week from now we have a direct and then it all goes away.
Right.
So I'm not really sure which way to lean on it outside the fact that I've already been hyped for every week of January, and it hasn't happened, so I'm done being hyped. My hype level is at an all-time low. At this point, they might as well just not show up till E3, because I give up.
Like I said, would we ever get a direct?
I give up. Like, and as for it being a good thing, I mean, it's not...
It's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Like, here's the thing. We know about a lot of games this year. We know about a lot of games are supposed to come in the first half of this year, but we don't know release dates.
Right.
So in some sort of way, we need a direct or need some way for them to announce release dates. Now, they did announce the Yoshi release date on Twitter, or I think it was actually through a YouTube trailer, but it would be nice to have release dates for other things like Daemon X Machina. That game has looked done for months.
That could be the February game. That could be.
We saw a lot of gameplay for Fire Emblem Three Houses briefly. Well, that feels like a game that might be ready soon. To me, that might be their early slate is Yoshi, Daemon X Machina, and Fire Emblem. But
I'm almost wondering if they're not going to wait till the first week of February.
What's your logic?
Because of the fact that we already kind of know there's, you know, nothing really coming out now. They already have their investors meeting. They're probably planning more for that right now. And then right after the investors meeting, then they can show, hey, this is what's coming here within, whether it's February, March,
and we can't
April.
Dismiss the fact that it's rare, but it has happened. Sometimes they hint towards release dates at the Q&A section of the investors meeting, because they'll get a direct question about, like, dude, when's Daemon X Machina going to come? And like, oh, don't worry about it. It's coming in April. And it's like, whoa, wait a second.
Wait,
we
what?
Never said that.
Yeah, right? Wait, what?
And then we'll give you an exact date, but like, don't worry about it. It's coming.
Yeah.
Like, so they have been known to sometimes do that, and I think it's just because it's like, you know, they're frustrated with the questions. They're just like, oh, we have a direct one. Like,
yeah, right.
Why you want to ask me?
We can't tell you.
But
we
you
have
are
a
our
coming.
Investor. You actually are the ones. The reason we have jobs. So, like,
well, yeah, yeah. If it's anything like the last investors meeting, we won't have to worry about them asking any sort of.
Oh, the last investors meeting questions were horrible.
Yeah,
it's almost like they took, I don't even know, like little Timmy.
Yeah.
Who owns 10 shares in in the company and is 8 years old and had him ask questions like, gee, gosh, Nintendo.
I swear it was a kindergarten class asking questions.
Yeah. It's like, and my thing is like, some of those questions were like investing 101.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why did you buy shares if you don't even understand how shares work?
Yeah.
Like wasn't one of the questions like, hey, can we get free tickets to the theme park when it opens? Yeah. And I'm like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you cannot.
No.
What?
Wasn't one of them along the lines of, why don't we get free demos of the game or something?
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like, why don't we get demos of all the games or whatever? It's like, do you know how investing works? Nobody gets investors never get handed demos of anything. Like, oh, wow, that's what Nintendo wants, leaks everywhere.
Right. Well, I know
who's got incentive to leak things? The people that know the leaks might make them more money in the stock market.
Right, right. I mean, we did do a whole podcast on this, so it is something that. If people are interested, they can go back and find.
Well, next podcast, our next podcast actually, Corey, another patron, is going to be on. And then that's going to be after the investors meeting. Unfortunately, we won't have the Q&A stuff yet.
Right, which is sad.
But that's okay. I mean, bottom line is, a direct has to come sometime in the next 30 days. Mm-hmm. I say that, and again, as you said before, jokingly, but it could be, are we going to get one?
Yeah.
Nintendo has not said we're going to get one. It's all people just assuming. So
maybe they change something up and completely
and
get
you know
rid of
what happens when
and
you
they
assume.
Go in somewhere other direction.
Oh, and by the way, for anyone wondering about all the like the two different leaks or whatever that I covered like earlier this month, obviously fake. One had the date of the 10th, one had the date of the 17th. We're past both those. Who knew? I said they were fake at the time.
Yeah, well.
But you know, people want to believe because there were some interesting. Things in those leaks.
Don't worry, I'll copyright it again. They're going to be a believer.
Oh my gosh!
Wait, no.
I just want that Star Fox Racing game to be real. Yeah, I just want anything out of Rare, Retro Studios. Like, just something, please. Prove to me you're still alive.
Yeah, right.
Besides hiring posts, like, okay, you keep hiring people, which means you're probably losing people when they're quitting or something.
Yeah, right.
I hope everything's okay over there. All right, I think we're going to wrap up the podcast with that, especially since I know 243's got to kind of head out here and do some good old chores or something over there. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever youth has to do these days. What am I kidding? I got to do this crap half the time, too. But whatever. I want to thank all you guys for tuning in to episode 95 of the Nintendo Prime Podcast. I want to thank our special guest over there, 243, for chiming in. So thank you so much for being here, man.
Oh, anytime. Thanks, Jared.
And obviously, thanks for the support, because that's what got you here, was supporting the podcast for our $20 tier on patreon.com/NintendoPrime. A couple slots open. We also have a new tier on Patreon that we recently launched. It is a $50 tier. The $50 tier is a once-per-month conversation over Google Hangouts with yours truly. So anybody at that tier or above, because there's a sponsorship tier, although I don't know if a sponsor really cares about being at that. If they do, they can sit down with me for like an hour or two and just talk. It doesn't have to be a Q&A or anything. It's just a, hey, talk about games, talk about life, talk about whatever. Maybe I can drag Eric into those once in a while if he feels like coming on. Eric loves talking. I know you guys sometimes want to ask him questions or talk to him, and he comes on like one stream every other month. So like, Maybe I can convince him to come on once in a while if he happens to be free. But yeah, like that's a new tier we have. We'll see if anyone takes advantage of it. We'll be launching a gaming-related tier at some point this year too, but I'll get more into that when I'm ready to commit to it because I'm not ready to commit to it yet. But yeah, things are going really well on the Patreon, so check us out there. Get the podcast early for $5, watch it live for $10, or just spend a buck. Come on our Discord server and get access to all the exclusive rooms that have game rooms, and you get my friend code and all that great stuff.
And you actually get updated on videos.
Yes, you do. Although, technically, you could join the Discord server now for free and get those updates, because I decided to make that free since YouTube sucks sometimes. Like this podcast, maybe no one's watching it because no notifications happen. I don't know. Like, I can make a killer video. I made three really amazing videos over this past week. All three of them traditionally would have hit 1,000 views within the first 3 hours. None of them came close to hitting 1,000 views days later because notifications were put out. Didn't appear in sub feeds. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, it eventually appeared. Yeah, 2 hours later. On YouTube, if you don't get all that momentum in the first hour, your video stops spreading.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's killed in the first hour, yeah, YouTube, you fixed it hours later. Yeah, but now I'm not going to get any viewership. So thanks for that. Whatever. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out our podcast on iTunes, on NintendoPrime.net, on Podbean, on Google Play, on...
Yeah.
Yeah, Patreon. I think that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Catch you guys in the next one.
Woo!
Bye! Bye-bye! Oh!